Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Union Bank of India earnings conference call for the period ended December 31st, 2021. The bank is represented by the Managing Director and CEO, Shri Raj Kiran Rai Ji, Executive Directors, Shri Manas Ranjan Biswal, Shri Nitesh Ranjan, Shri Rajneesh Karnatak, Shri Neetu Saxena, and other members of the top management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now, I hand over the call to Mrs. Ranjita Suresh, Assistant General Manager, Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, madam.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I, Ranjita Suresh, Head of the Investor Relations, on behalf of top management of Union Bank of India, welcome you all for this con call to discuss the Q3 financial year 2022 results of our bank. The structure of the con call shall include a brief opening statement by MD and CEO, and then the floor will be open for interaction. Before getting into the con call, I'll read out the usual disclaimer statement. I would like to submit that certain statements that may be discussed during the investor interaction may be forward-looking statements based on the current expectations. These statements involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that cause the actual results to differ from the statement. Investors are therefore requested to check the information independently before making any investment or other decisions. With this, I now request our MD and CEO for his opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure and privilege to meet you all for Union Bank of India financial results for the quarter and 9 months ended December 31, 2021. There has been good upturn in economy. As per the CSO's advance estimate for financial year 22, the level of economic output is expected to surpass the pre-COVID level. Encouragingly, third wave of COVID has been milder and less disruptive. Thus, with Union budget pushing for higher capex, there could indeed be virtual cycle underway to put economy on high growth path. Banking and financial sector is well prepared to finance India's growth aspirations. Coming to Union Bank's business and financials for the quarter ended December 31, 2021, the bank has continued to post strong financials as net interest income grew by 8.88% YOY, and net interest income stood at 7,174 for Q3 of the year 22. The global NIM stood at 3% for Q3 for the year. The net profit stood at 1,085 crores during the Q3 and compared to the 727 crores of Q3 of last year, that by registering a growth of almost 49%. In terms of business, the RAM sector noted 9.17% year-on-year growth, raising its share in domestic loan book to 56.94%. Within RAM sector, the retail advances have grown 9.78% and agriculture advances have grown by 11.08%. On the liability side, total deposits have grown 6.24% YOY, led by low-cost CASA deposits, which have grown at 11.06% year-on-year. The CASA ratio thus stood at 36.99% as of December 31, 2021, as compared to 35.38% a year ago. Of asset quality, the gross NPA ratio stood at 11.62 as of December 31, 2021, compared to 13.49 of last December. Net NPAs have stood at 4.09, which was 52 basis points lower than sequentially. The bank has successfully contained the overall stress from a level of approximate 16% of March 2021. The stress book has declined to 6% level in December 2021. Friends, the bank has performed well on recovery front by recovering approximately 13,000 crores on gross basis for 9 months of the year 2022. This is the robust recovery. We already revised our guidance from 13,000 crores to 16,000 crores of recovery for the full year, financial year 22. Strengthening our collection capabilities further, the region collection centers are opened, wherein dedicated call centers and feet-on-street model combined with a skilled pool of staff deployed to reduce the stress position of the bank on continuous basis. The bank raised 3,500 crores of AT1 bonds during Q3, apart from raising 1,447 crores of equity capital through QIP earlier and Rs. 2,000 crores under Tier 2 bond bond during the previous two quarters. Coming to developmental measures, as per long-term strategy, the bank has taken several initiatives in its digitization journey under the Project Samarth 2.0. They have started reflecting in better customer satisfaction and greater digital adoption. There has been marked increase in daily registration by 2.4 times and daily transaction volume by 1.2 times on YooMobile, our mobile platform application. Taking customer connect further, the bank has also launched conversational banking, we call UVCon, on WhatsApp and e-bulletin Union Prava for creating awareness about our products among our customers. To increase the credit availability to the MSME sector, the bank has revamped its focus to MSME by launching Union MSME First branches. Union MSME First branches have been opened at 25 locations by offering multiple benefits to MSMEs, and leads worth 3,395 crores have already been generated. Towards sustainability, the bank has launched new products, namely Union Green Deposits, Union Green Miles, loans for solar rooftop in the quarter. Let me conclude by stating the bank's performance is in line with our guidance shared earlier this year. To reiterate, deposit and advances growth in the range of 6 to 8%, CASA ratio in the range of 36 to 37%, NIM to be around 2.9 to 3%, credit cost to be around 2%, delinquency ratio to be around 2.5 on net basis, excluding one-off slippage of Shree Group. With this guidance, I conclude my opening remarks. We are grateful to analyst and investor fraternity for their continued support and feedback that helps us to take informed decision in our journey towards efficiency and profitability. Thank you, and we are now open for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. The first question is from the line of Maruk Adajania from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, congratulations. So my first question is on ECLGS. So what is the incremental ECLGS disbursed during the quarter and what would be the outstanding figure now?
Okay, ECLGS update data is outstanding plus further.
So ECLGS, I think during the quarter in the extension scheme, we have done around 3,200 crores of sanction, and out of that around 2,900 crores of disbursement. And on aggregate level, as of now, outstanding is around 8,500 crores.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. So my other question is on recoveries. So now, after a lot of lumpy recoveries from NCLT, what is the outlook on recoveries for the next few quarters?
We can't expect lumpy recovery every quarter. So this time the recovery has come from normal accounts. So Mr. Ashokan, you want to add further?
Yeah, good afternoon, madam. In fact, we are expecting some good recovery to happen. Maybe something can happen in this fourth quarter. But some good recovery we are expecting in 22-23 through the NCLT process. And there are some tractions are happening outside NCLT also. I think that route also we are expecting some good recovery in this quarter. NCLT is, of course, yeah, it is not much recovery is happening through the NCLT process.
So I think we have touched about 13,000 9 months.
Yeah.
And last time we had indicated that our annual target for recovery is revised to 16,000 crores. And we are confident of reaching or crossing that level for the full year. This will be like a record recovery comparatively. So this year recovery has done well. One lumpy account, but mostly it's all smaller accounts.
Got it.
I can just submit. I can give you one data which indicates what is the potential that is lying. Like we have 50 accounts which is already approved by NCLT, and we are waiting for the implementation to happen. And through that itself, we are going to get around 2,500 crore. So we need to wait for how long it's going to take for the implementation. But since it is already approved, so we are expecting some part in this quarter, around 900 crore we are expecting in this quarter. But going forward, 22-23, I think this entire amount will come.
Got it, sir. So, and what would be the write back on a government account? And would you have made any incremental provisions on Shri or Future this quarter?
You may be mentioning about Air India. So, like Air India, since the total recovery came, we had almost 500 crores of provision which came back, which we used for some other provisioning. On Shri, our provision remains at 65. We didn't make any further provision this quarter because we think at this point of time, maybe that's adequate provision. On the Future, they're not NPA as of 31st December. But even then, on the total exposure, including investment book of Future, we have close to 30% provision. Not exact amount, but like that disclosures will make at the right of time, but then at the right relevant time. But it is close to 30% provision on the total exposure of Future Group we are holding as of now. But they will be reflected in the standard asset provision.
Got it, sir. So, and the exposure to Future would be 2,500-2,600?
Yeah, total including investment book, yes.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, any part of the Air India recovery came through NII or it was just provisioning reversal?
It is only provisioning reversal for us.
Got it, sir. Got it. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So if you can provide some color on the corporate slippages this quarter as to what is driven there, any comments on granularity?
Yeah, I think this is the data we always share. So our slippage of this quarter, 504 crores is from retail, 839 crores from agriculture, 874 crores from MSME, and 1194 crores is from the corporate book. So this is the information generally we share upfront so that people ask questions on that. Since your question is on corporate side, we had one lumpy account which belongs to a state government account, civil supply. But for that, it is not very big. There is only one lumpy account.
Okay. And so we are expecting, what is the outlook on this account, sir?
This is actually the government account, so we are making efforts, so most probably we may recover the money quickly because the status is different in different banks as of now. So because of certain rollover issues, actually the account had to be classified as NPA, but then technical issues. So we are expecting that it can be upgraded or recovered. We are making our efforts.
Okay. And secondly, sir, we have made a fair bit of detail this quarter because of which our tax rate has been very high this quarter as well as during the 9 months. So how do you see this tax rate moving going ahead?
No, please repeat your question. I missed somewhere.
So I was referring to the tax rate. It has been running quite high this quarter.
Actually, we are not paying any taxes. Actually, what is reflected there is reversal of deferred tax assets. Actually, that column is there, so it comes there. Because we have accumulated losses, carry forward losses. Because of that, we have a set off available. So actually, we are not paying any taxes. What we are doing, we are using these quarters since we have good profitability to reverse the deferred tax assets. So we have already brought our DTA book to about 12,000 crores now. Because we are planning to move to the new tax regime maybe by March 23, for which actually at this point of time we would have taken a 5,000 crores hit one time. So this year we took a call that we will reverse part of that DTA and next year we will reverse other part. So that by March 23 we will be capable of moving to the new tax regime without a hit. So and the advantage of DTA reversal, because this DTA is reduced from the net worth also. So if you see, our net worth is increasing because the DTA is coming down every quarter. So this time we had more cushion, so we have reversed about 1,500 crores of DTA.
Okay.
So that net worth has increased to that level, you can see that.
Okay, okay, sir. And so lastly, how much is like outstanding security receipts for us, and what sort of provisions are we carrying on them?
Outstanding security?
Security receipts, outstanding SRs.
SRs.
SRs, I think, yeah, 2,400 SRs? 2,237. And provisions?
Okay, Nitin, we'll come back to you on this.
You have the data.
Sure. No problem. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible to
you? Yes.
Oh, 66%.
Yes,
Rakesh, yeah,
please
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, just a minute. For earlier, Nitin's question, we'll finish that. 66% is the provision on SR book. This is for Nitin.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so something similar question, sir, on this security receipt. So, as per the notes of accounts, like, you know, couple of SRs are falling into RR3 and below. So, the possible recovery in those SR would be like how much and what is the average tenure?
I think this data we'll share with you because right now I don't have that much minute details, because what we hold as of December 21 is 2,237 crores, for which we have a provision of 1,481 crores, about 66%. So on that low rated cases, we have a higher provision. And I think last 1-2 years, we have not issued any fresh SRs. These are the old ones. So we'll be able to give you some finer data on this offline. So right now, I may not be carrying that data.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir.
That is not much, yeah.
Okay. Any income that we have taken into account this quarter on the PSLC sale, this quarter?
No,
not this quarter.
No.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Thanks, sir. Thanks. That's it for my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions, sir. First is on restructuring. So, if I were, what is the non-overlapping MSME restructure, which is over and above R1.0 and 1.2. I think last quarter it was some 2,500 crores.
We have the data. Actually, yeah. No, he is looking at worst, like, because they double count otherwise. So they want to know what is the overlap.
Yeah, so other than RF1 and 2, the MSME restructuring is 1,932 crores.
Okay.
And RF1, you might be having the number, is 2258, and RF2 is 3130.
Right. So over and above R1.0 and 1.2, 2.0 is 1,932 crores.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And sir, secondly, on your with ECLGS, I think Nitesh sir mentioned that we, but just wanted to double check, you know, if I look at our slides, we have given detail on ECLGS, and it looks like there is not too much of a change, right, from in ECL 120. So, I mean, it looks like that the number has not moved, I mean, only by maybe 100 crores or something. The GECL 1 is 8500 crore amount sanctioned. So, sanction has not changed, right? So, because I heard that there is some 3,200 crores kind of a sanction in this quarter. So, just wanted to double check that.
No, so I think on the slide, extension sanction amount is not mentioned.
Okay.
That's the old ECS 1 scheme only on the mentioned on the slide.
Okay, understood. So, even the outstanding would be 8,500 plus, you know, the disbursement amount 2,900. Is that the right way to understand?
No, but does this include the extension scheme? No. No, you are right in some sense, but we'll come back to you with the exact number by the end of this call.
Sure, sure, sir. And secondly, sir, what is the family pension outstanding number, family pension liability? And I think, is that being netted off from capital when we report CET1, and what is the amount?
No, it is not netted off as of now. Actually, last quarter, we had been made a rough estimate and made about 380 crores of provision, which we made a disclosure also. So, but in March, we will estimate. And based on that, either we will provide or otherwise it will be netted from the capital. But in March only, when the actuary estimates will come, we'll take a call then in March.
Understood. Understood. And this thing, sir, on MTM, so you have given the break, I mean, and the duration. But was there any MTM hit, MTM investment depreciation on pertaining to GSEC in this quarter? And what would be your PV01 at a certain threshold, if you have that number for your FSBook?
There was no mark-to-market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even at the current yield, we are MTM positive on the GSEC. The PV01 for the GSEC would be, I think, around 3 crores.
Okay. And this would be benchmarked to what rate, sir? I mean, current yield, current rate, or maybe slightly higher?
Which one? PV01? PV01 is at the current rate, but the MTM that I am telling you today also it is positive, is obviously at the current rate.
Understood. Understood. Yeah. Okay. And last thing, sir, myself,
the duration of the portfolio is around 1.3. So we are well protected even in the current environment. Already yields have moved up. So even if they, let's say, there is an inch up of 20-25 basis point, we are covered for that risk.
Right. And 3 crore PV01 would mean that every basis point you may have to, you know,
yes.
I mean, this could be the delta.
Yes.
On AFS book, right? Not on entire HTM and everything.
AFS book.
Sure.
That I am billing you for the GSEC portfolio. If I include the entire portfolio, it could be around 11-12 crores.
Right. No,
of the AFS.
Understood. And last thing, sir, we used to disclose this SMA 1 plus 2 for maybe CRISIL data or maybe the all-inclusive, if you have that number for this quarter, I mean, as of December.
Since you have done it last time, you have to do it now.
that we have disclosed this time also, SMA 2 crore and above. But overall...
5 crores
and above. But overall SMA, if we look at SMA 2, so September we had said 2.3. It has come down substantially for the quarter ended December. Now it stands at 1.9.
Right. Understood, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oja from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my first
name for the full book.
Hello.
SMA 2.
Yeah, 1.9 is SMA 2 full book. Huh. Only on the 5 crore number, it will be
0.4.
0.9.
0.4.
0.9
has come down to 0.9.
Yeah, yeah. 0.9 was in March. Just for clarity. SMA 2 of 5 crore and above for September quarter was 0.9, which has come down to 0.4 this quarter. And if I look at the entire SMA 2 book, it was 2.3 for September quarter, which has come down to 1.9 for December 21.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, sir. So my first question is, what hit are we going to take next year for the DTA reversal?
Actually, we have actually about 12,000 crores as of now. We may take some more, reversal in March, depending on the cushion what we have. So we expect that another 5,000 crores we may reverse next year, because actually up to 10% of net worth there is an exemption for the DTA. So with that, we get a exemption up to roughly about 5,500 crores. So beyond that, we would like to reverse because that is reduced from the net worth.
Okay. So another additional 5K crores are we planning, right?
Yeah, so depending on what we take in March, depending on the cushion available, the remaining thing will be for the next year. But we may not, actually this is a call we have to take based on the cushion available. Since the credit cost has come down substantially and the operating profits are very stable, so we are taking a call because it's as good as raising equity. You know, it is coming back to the net worth. So we are doing that. So maybe next 1 year also, we may have to continue to do this.
Okay, got it. And so my second question is, what loan book growth and credit cost are we looking for in FY23?
Okay. See, if you look at the credit growth from September to December, these 3 months, it has been 5.5% growth. When you look at YOY, but these are quarters which were very disruptive. But September to December growth is 5.5. That gives us the confidence and the sanction pipeline that we'll be able to achieve 6 to 8% growth by March. Next year, it will be definitely a double-digit growth. So like 11 to 12% growth is what we are assuming at this point of time. But then again, like we need to see how the things play out. But 11 to 12% is the assumption with which we are going at this point of time. On the credit cost, this year we had projected that we will be between 1.5 to 2. I think we'll tend to be closer to 1.5 rather than 2. Because I think in the first 9 months it is around 1.7. So we are hopefully like, you know, tend to be lower to closer to 1.5. Ideal credit cost for next year will be something between 1 to 1.5. So again, like since the provision coverage is quite high, unless there is some major slippages from the restructured book of MSME and all that, and we like, you know, we are continuously watching, but then otherwise the traditional credit cost should be closer to 1. But then 1 to 1.5 will be the range we are likely to project for next year.
Okay, that will do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My questions have been answered.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maruk Adajania from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hello again, sir. So, I just wanted to check, what would be your EBLR linked rates, loans?
EBLR is around 25% of the book is EBLR linked.
Okay, and then any more, and that's the only benchmark, that's the only external benchmark link, right?
So EBLR, under EBLR we have repo rate linked also, we have T-bill linked also.
So total
book under EBLR is around 25-26%, and within which around 6-7% is even T-bill linked.
Got it. Okay, sir. So yes, that was my question. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again, sir. So just a theoretical question, sir, that recently in the previous quarter, we witnessed that, you know, short-term paper yields, you know, moved much faster than, you know, longer-term papers. Keeping the AFS book overall in a smaller size, and with a higher duration, would it make sense to protect it would be better still to just keep lower duration? Because we have seen much higher volatility in short-term papers.
Yeah, this is the wisdom which Treasury carries because we have seen these cycles earlier. So in their wisdom, they think that this is the right way. And maybe we are proved right because in the kind of fluctuation what we have seen in the last 3-4 months, in the earlier cycle, we already had a lot of mark-to-market losses. In earlier cycle, if you remember. This year, we are yet to have any mark-to-market losses. So I think there's a prudent call. So because these short-term fluctuations and all that may be there, but then it is very difficult to adjust adjust our books to this kind of market phenomena. So we take a very proper call looking at a very longer term view and the price fluctuation. So we are proved right till now.
Got it. Just one more rather theoretical question, sir. So which T-bill we are using? It is like, you know, like 81 days, 364 days. Which T-bill we use for?
Three month T-bill we are using.
3 month. And when we are using 3 months T-bill, so what kind of loans we are, you know, sanctioning or disbursing using that external benchmark, sir?
These are very short-term loans. Basically, you know, there is a demand from AAA rated borrowers for short-term loans, which are typically 30 days, 60 days kind of thing. And since the market rates are very low, they demand at a low price, and that's why this product is developed. So these are very short-term loans.
Got it, sir. And on the liability side, sir, like, you know, because some, you know, old gen bank, we have seen that, you know, they have priced their savings deposits on, you know, on external benchmark also. So do we have any product or any anything, any plan that, you know, this would have, you know, some liability product or maybe a deposit, you know, based on external benchmark, you know, just to keep the ALM more better priced?
On the savings deposit, particularly CASA, they are not that very sensitive to the pricing. You know, because there is more for a convenience and operating part, actually they keep it. So what we have seen, actually we have fluctuated this price and seen it doesn't affect much. So I think we are not using pricing as a tool, because the CASA is growing at 11% as per the system. So we are okay with that at this point of time. So we are not getting into any external benchmark at this point of time.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity again. Thank you. All the best, sir.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Edgecon Global Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Though first time when I placed the key, my name was not recorded somewhere. Anyway, most of the questions have been answered. But sir, I have a couple of observations and some numbers to be sought from you.
Yes.
You see, this our operating profit has been, this quarter has come little under pressure. You know, the treasury is already under pressure, and because of that, it is resulting in the lower profit. Even the on the recovery front also in this quarter, the recovery from the return of account comparatively are low, maybe because of a lumpy recovery in last quarter. But overall, 9 month performance is of course very good, and it needs to be congratulated. My question is, sir, that in order to meet the profitability targets, or in order to make the bank profitable, since we are not going to have much treasury income profit now, I mean, the way this, we look at it, what actions are you taking towards the credit side? I mean, it's to the NBFC, you have got a co-lending space also available. You have got a lot of SMEs also where one can look at where you get a higher rate of interest. So what are your plans on that, sir?
Thank you, Ajmeraji. Many of the questions you yourself have answered, because operating profit is definitely impacted by the treasury income. Because this quarter, we have given that breakup, and treasury income is bound to go down because it's, like, you know, the whole ecosystem, the interest rate is going up. So, like, I think we had that impact. Because of that, the operating profit has come down a bit, actually, because of the treasury income. And going forward also, I think the treasury income will be always under challenge. But then there will be some basic income which we'll be making. It is not that it will become zero. So around the level what we have this quarter, maybe slightly less than that, but that kind of numbers you can see every quarter, because we'll always have something to sell and make money. So that is something which we'll have. One compensating thing will be the net interest income. So whatever we lose in treasury, we will definitely make up in the interest income, because the interest rate is moving up. Because today, there is a lot of money parked at short-term rates, either T-bill linked or other this thing, at a much lower rates. So they will all get repriced now, because the system interest rates are moving up. So our interest income is bound to move up. Added to that, the credit growth. from September to December, you have already seen a good credit growth.
Yes.
And there already we have a good pipeline. So I'm very confident the net interest income will grow much faster and compensate for the treasury. The other side which can compensate is the other income. In other income, actually, we have write-off recoveries and the other fee-based incomes. So we are working on both the sides, because my recovery department has totally digitized the processes now. I think we may be one of the banks which has an end-to-end digitization of all the NPA accounts and including the recovery actions. So this will play out, and definitely the recovery from the normal NPA and also write-off accounts will go up substantially. That will compensate. Fee-based income, we are working, because there is a trade finance software which we are implementing. Already the trial run is on in 4-5 branches. So with that, actually, we are expecting that our other income, particularly on the import-export side, will go up substantially, because there are very few banks which are having these trade finance module which will give an end-to-end solution to the customer, and we are quite ahead of the curve in implementing it. So that will help us. So like next 2-3 years, our plan is that as the treasury income goes down, we should supplement it by interest income and also by other income. So already the strategies are there, and hopefully we should be able to compensate.
And there's the NBFC space and co-lending space, because some smaller banks also have tied up for a huge amount and they are getting good results from that. So have you done anything of that kind, and what are the expectations for future for this NBFC and through direct lending as well as for co-lending?
Yeah, co-lending we have started already. We have booked, like we were a bit late actually, last 2 months we have built about 200 crores of book now. So hopefully like by December we can reach close to 1000 crores, and next year it will add substantially, because we have 4-5 tie-ups now, which are like, out of that 2 are already working, other 3 are in the process. So hopefully this co-lending also will supplement on the retail and MSME side.
So my question is, Mr. Ashok Chandra ji has replied just now some time back, there are good recoveries are expected from the NCLT and some other outside NCLT, some OTS settlements and other thing. And he gave the figure of 50 accounts of 2,500 crore expected amount. But that is again out of the accrued account. But among the non-accrued, good recoveries means, can we quantify, can we get some amount on that also in addition to this 2,500 crore?
Yeah, good afternoon, Ajmeraji. I will just give you some breakup. Like 50 account I have already mentioned, that is approved by NCLT. We have 66 accounts which have been approved by COC, and it is filed in NCLT, for which we are waiting for the approval to come. And in that, we are expecting around 2,700 crore of recovery. Running ledger itself is principal outstanding is 6,522 crore. So this is one kitty is there. And in 155 accounts, the CIRP process is going on. So if you assume that 22-23 the entire year, I think the timeline, if you go by the NCLT, I think definitely in those 155 accounts also, some traction should happen in 22-23. So these are the projections for going forward.
Yes, sir. My last question is, sir, on the digital space, the entire bank, like you said that trade credits you are doing end-to-end, recovery you are doing end-to-end. But you know, the many banks are at a very advanced stage of complete digitalization. Like even, of course, SBI is the lead bank, but we have seen even Bank of Baroda yesterday, you know, like saying that they almost, Bob World, they have introduced in a big way, and Canara Bank has also come a long way in this. So where do we stand in the complete digitalization of the banking operation, sir?
We are not behind, actually, that much I can assure you, because actually we are not like put out everything in them. Like if you just go and use my mobile app, you will know that our mobile app also equally good like any other bank today's date. There are so many products and it is so smooth today. So we are continuously upgrading all this, and see, we may be the one bank which has already digitized the loan processes in some products. Like today, if you Mudra loan up to 50,000, including documentation, we have digitized. It is right from applying for a loan process, sanction and documentation. So somebody sitting even in a fishing boat can get the credit of 50,000 rupees of Mudra loan through our bank. Yeah. You know, this is something we have built capability in the last 3 months. It is working. We are not given much publicity to this, because we want to expand it from 50,000 to 5 lakhs gradually as we get more and more experience. Because these kind of digital products, we should not make a big then fail. So we are very conservative on that, but then products are already working. Similarly, on the personal loan side, if you have your mobile and if you are in the approved list, your personal loan can get credited in your account and where the documentation is also digital. So that way, you know, we are quite advanced in most of these products, but we can expand to other products quite quickly. But then we are not made much publicity for this because they are all in a test basis, and maybe by April, once we are confident that this can really work smoothly without hitches, we will make the announcement. So we are not come big on those things, but I can assure you that the digitalization process which is going on in our bank is no less than any other bank.
Point well taken, sir. Just last parting question, sir. In the credit growth, I observed that metal and metal products growth was 7,500 crore in this quarter, which is quite substantial. So is it across the industry or one or two large accounts in this metal and metal products of 7,500 crore which is mentioned in this? And with that, power infra, you have already have the infra, NBFC and food processing. Other than that, any other industry where you are finding green shoots? Other than the 3-4 industries where you have given a good amount of credit?
See, what happens, this categorization of RBI, you know, like it will include some steel or some other things actually. So, like, you know, somebody who is in the metal space will easily come in. So, I will not be able to give you that data, but we have done a lot of sanctions. But then 25,000 crores of sanction pipeline we already have. Out of that, major chunk is on infra and NBFC. And we have already shared the kind of rating profile we have in NBFC. So, we have a very, very good rating profile on NBFC. So, the expansion, particularly the sanction, is more on infra and NBFC. We have other spaces also, but then these are the two major areas we have the sanction pipeline now.
That is A plus all the A double A.
NBFC we have shared one of the slides where we have given the rating profile of NBFC, triple A, double A and A. So that will give you idea that what kind of exposure we are taking on the NBFC. Again, we have given a break up there, how much is government, how much is public sector, how much is backed by large corporates, and that categorization of NBFC also we have given.
Thank you, Mr. Ajmera. May we request
thank
that?
You. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding what kind of GNPA and net NPA level we are targeting by FY23 end? And my second question is, how much we are going to transfer in NARCL, and is it expected to be done in the current quarter?
Okay. I think the gross NPA, like our projections, we said that we will try to get closer to 10 by the end of this year itself. We are 11 plus now. Hopefully, if everything goes as per the projections, we will be slightly below 11 by March 22. That is the expectation. Similarly, on the net NPA side, for March 22, we want to be below 4. And that was our target in the beginning of the year. And we are likely to hit that range. So by March 23, our aim is to reach closer to 2-2.5 kind of net NPA. So again, like, you know, the way the book is behaving now, looking at a very, very small stress book, particularly on the corporate side now, the slippages are likely to be very low next year. So suppose if we are able to keep the delinquency below 2 next year, we are around 1.5 to 2, and the credit cost...
Webex ID or password, BSC.
Yeah. So I think we should be able to reach a net NPA level between 2 to 2.5 by March 23.
Okay, and regarding NARCL?
NARCL, actually, you know, now there are some revision in numbers which we initially shared because some of the accounts are at an advanced stage of resolution and we have taken them out. Now it is roughly estimated to be around 50,000 crores in the first lot and about 15 accounts. That we have exposure in 11 accounts amounting to something like 4,100 crores. So that will go in the first lot.
And it will happen this quarter?
Yes.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Tendulkar from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, why is processing charges negative in spite of loan growth picking up?
Could you please repeat?
Yeah. Loan processing charges growth is YOY and QOQ negative in spite of loan growth picking up. So this will be on the slide number 27.
Yeah. Now we had a festival Dhamaka going on where we had waived processing charges. All your housing loans and all that. This was a scheme driven, so I think that would have gone down because of that. So because of most of the retail loans, all the banks did that.
Right. Sir, also on the balance sheet, what is the optimum level of split or ratio of interest-bearing liabilities to interest-yielding assets? So if I just take advances plus investments plus bank balances with bank as a percent of, say, borrowings and deposits, what is the scope here to improve? So, on other way, excess SLR, when we will get rid of excess, investments in low-yielding investments?
Actually, this was a burden on us because of the excess liquidity in the system. So, we tried to correct it by going slow on time deposits. Actually, you would have seen that. We have corrected our growth on time deposit to a great extent. But then... I think the CD ratio as it goes up, I think this will be corrected. So the surplus investment, at this point of time, the yield on that is not very bad compared to what we get on the advances also. So I think you should not go with the assumption that surplus investment is low yielding at this point of time. So maybe the scenario will change as interest rates will go up, and then we will have a cushion to take this out and put it in credit. So I think the basic assumption that the investment book returns are lower than advances returns may not be correct at this point of time. Nitesh, you would like to supplement?
Yeah.
CD ratio has improved. CD ratio has improved to 71.4.
Yeah, so we don't have the exact number of interest being assets to liability ratio right now. But as our MD said, once the advances start picking up, then since the interest rates are also moving up, therefore bank will be in an advantageous position actually, in terms of while the ratio may remain same, but there will be some substitution of lower yielding investment towards the higher yielding comparatively advances. That advantage bank will be getting. At the same time, we have also given the data on one of the slides that while interest rates move up, on the liability side, a good quantum of term deposits are actually non-callable term deposits, which will not be, price insensitive actually. So that will again come to the advantage of the balance sheet.
So just to put the exact number, advances as a percent of, say, interest-bearing liabilities, that is deposits and borrowings, is 62%.
Okay.
Whereas the mandated SLR and CRR is actually just, I think, around 18-19% and 3.5. So it's just 21-22%. So you could theoretically have 80% of advances.
Right.
But it is just 62%. So I'm saying that a simple measure like this could actually, pull our yield, pull our NIM and ROA to a different level. So I would just like to know your opinion about it. Is there any theoretical limit to this? Like, can 62 become 80% like advances?
62 will not become 80. 62 can become towards 70. Because you'll also see that some of the possibility of 62 to rise is capped because we have already raised the capital bonds. If there was a space in non-equity capital, then perhaps that was possible. But today, if you look at our Tier 2 ratio and AT1 ratio, both of them are, close to the, in fact, higher than the regulatory minimum. So 62 can move to 70 definitely in the next 12 to 18 months, depending on how the business grows.
Got it. Perfect, sir. Perfect, sir. Thanks a lot and congratulations for a great set of slippage and other numbers. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sushil Choksi from Indus Equity. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for a stable performance. Sir, if any wish list which you had to take up in your tenure, what would that be?
Thank you. Thank you, Sushilji. Thank you for the compliment. The wish list is too long. Actually, maybe I would like to end with a double-digit credit growth when I, you know, close my term. That's one thing. Second thing is, maybe announcing to the outside world all the digital initiatives we have taken in the last 2 years. So, by the time the team confirms everything is workable, we have done a lot of work on the digital side. So, to showcase to the world that what Union Bank has achieved on the digital side is something which I want to do before I leave. And I think these are the two things which are in the top of my agenda.
Yeah, but credit growth is a function of the entire team of Union Bank. So your wish list is positive, but the entire bank has to function for that.
I know that. Let us see, because maybe they will give me a parting gift.
Okay. Second thing, sir, as my connect with the bank for a period since listing, I've seen great leadership emerge out of the bank. As the same, I wish, happens in future, what are the initiatives the bank taking for throwing talent to the industry?
I think we have already proved that. Actually, the number of executive directors who have gone from our bank in the last 3 years is better than any other bank. So many EDs have gone from our bank in the 3 years. It is because we are working closely on the HR side. The leadership development program, which we started with McKinsey in 2017-18, has really helped people. Further to that, actually, we continue to work on our people, particularly identifying the talent, working on them. And it is not only on the technology, like the technology side and knowledge side. It is basically we are working on the personalities of the people, like trying to identify the strengths and weaknesses and working on that. And this has really helped us. And, of late, we have also tied up with ISB to train our DGMs and GMs. So this is a program which is currently going on. So we are investing a lot to change the attitude of people, fine-tune their approach towards issues and all that. So I think this is paying out. And maybe there is one more initiative since you raised this issue. We are one bank which has a project called HR Prerana, which we have implemented along with BCG. So this is actually, performance appraisal tool. So today, majority of my officers are actually having KRAs, and that KRAs are linked to the MIS of the bank. And every month they get a report card based on the actual performance, based on the data, what is fed in the system and what is available in the system against the KRAs which they have already accepted at the beginning of the year. So this will improve in substantial improvement because the monitoring has become real-time for every officer. It is not like a typical public sector setup that people can get away with whatever performance. Here it will be very, very objectively measured and it will be available for all reviewing authorities. And in addition to this, this tool also has transfer and posting tool and also a talent management tool including the training. It captures all what kind of trainings they are going through, what kind of e-learning modules they have to crack. So they will be continuously updated on the issues because they will be forced to do certain e-learning modules and all that. So we have implemented a lot of things on the HR side and I am very sure it is not only the top leadership, even at the lower level, a lot of is happening on the human resources side.
Sir, you answered the question which I am asking now that digitization, we have taken all initiatives and we are not far behind from peer banks. But to achieve the result which you are seeding right now in the bank with technology, do you see whether it will take 12 months, 24 months or beyond that, whether it is cross-selling, digitization for MSME, product lending or co-lending, when do you see this would actually fructify where shareholder value creation will happen?
I think maximum 12 months, most of the initiatives will be rolled out. Because in addition to the trade finance module which we are implementing through Finastra, we also have onboarded Zoho for the CRM. Now cross-selling, what you are talking about, will be more of a customer relationship management. And Zoho is already onboarded, and I think maybe next 3 to 5 months they will be fully equipped to roll it out. And similarly on the digitization side, we have created a full-fledged digitization department, and board has already approved a substantial budget for this investment. We have already floated many RFPs, and you are also taking on contract lot of technology people under different vertical like AI, analytics, on the digitization side and all that. So already that recruitment process is on. We already have received lot of applications, and in the next 1 month, many of them may be onboarded. It is not only we are taking the top leadership at GM level, we are also recruiting the talent at the second level so that they will be also assisted with the right kind of people. They are all being taken on contract basis at market related salaries. So this is how I am strengthening my digitization department. With all these initiatives, I am very sure in the next 1 year, most of these initiatives will be rolled out.
The best wishes to Team Union for years to come, and all the best to yourself also.
Thank you.
I will share some data on the question which I asked you in person.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I would just like to update for the benefit of everyone. There was a first question on the ECLGS, and then there was a subsequent on the clarification. If you look at slide 12 of the presentation, the number of the details given about the sanctions from the various ECGL scheme from 1 to 4 is there, which comes to total of around 10,600 crores of sanctions, which is marginally above what was reported in the September quarter. However, this slide does not actually reflect the new sanctions and disbursement done under the ECLGS 1 extension, which was announced by the government sometime in September and October. So if we include ECLGS 1 to 4 and the 1 extension, the total sanctions will be around 13,800 crores. And the total disbursement under ECLGS 1 to 4 and extension included will be around 12,250 crores. And the outstanding as on date for all the ECLGS, including extension, will be around 10,750 crores. I hope that clarifies for all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Premukh Fene from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
My question is more on the bookkeeping side.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Fene. The audio is breaking from your line, so please check.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes.
My question is more on the bookkeeping front. So I can see there are few line items. BNS, like the other income and provision taken from the year-on-year basis for 31st December 2020. So, may I know the reason behind it?
No. Which item? Are you referring to something in the presentation or the result? Sorry. Slide number?
In the PAP filing page 2, so in the standalone numbers, other income numbers of 31st December 2020 has been depicted.
BSC filing, do you have the copy? Okay. Okay. We'll come back to you on that.
Now, what was the issue actually?
Some new line items we have introduced, so you just wanted to know why.
Okay. BSC filing. You have any clarification on that? We'll be knowing.
No, actually, because of the that master circular that has come on the presentation of financial statements in August.
So
some reclassifications we have done.
Okay, so that's what you have mentioned.
That we have done this time. So we have done last time also.
Okay.
That may be what he is referring.
Yeah, but lately, he says it is a regulatory compliance, basically some directions from RBI. So they have complied with that. I think last quarter also it was there, he says. We will verify and come back to you.
What is the note number, if you can specify? What is the serial number of the note 2 accounts?
I think we lost
provision. So you have restated provision and other income number in the GST filing record.
Okay, so one reason could be that as per the new accounting reporting given by the RBI, on the investment side, whatever was the provision because of the depreciation in the investment book, earlier we were showing below the operating profit line, but as per the revised criteria, it has to be netted off from the other income treasury profit itself. So that would be the reason for that mention in the note.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anil Bang from AGFR Financials. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Anil Bang from Marshall Race. A quick question, given everyone is worried about interest rate, you would have some offset in terms of pension liabilities, right? Because that liability would be getting repriced every quarter because of the change in the interest rate. What would be the size of that and what would be the duration of that?
Actually, we do it by way of actuarial assessment in March. So, right now, it's very difficult to predict a number. But then, we don't think that there will be any substantial difference because we are already anticipated and made provisions whenever required. So, in an upward interest rate cycle, generally, it doesn't go up to that extent. When the interest rate go down, the provisions increase. So I am not seeing much increase in the pension provisions as of now. My CFO can
tell. No, that's what I was thinking, that you should get a benefit because the interest rates are going up, right?
No, we don't reverse that way. We don't reverse that way. If there is a higher provision, we generally carry on with the provision. And if there is a lower provision, we bridge the gap.
And what would be the size of the total liability pool which you are carrying? Like
for the full pension, 20,000?
Yeah.
No, the pension funds?
Around
18,000 crores, I think.
Okay, got it. And second question?
It is a separate trust which manages it.
Got it. And in terms of your total loan book, what would be the percentage of floating loans right now? Means all floating, like MCLR or internal rate or T-bill rate, but floating in nature.
So MCLR plus EBLR, which are basically the floating in nature, is around 85-86% of the loan book.
Okay, got it. Just one last data point. I know there have been a lot of adjustments on the tax side, but you mentioned that you would be adjusting most of it this year. When we look at next year, what should be your tax rate for the full year?
Next year also, we'll have the benefit of this thing.
No, next year we have not yet decided whether we will be moving to the lower tax regime. Next year.
Yeah, but there will be certain advantages from the accumulated losses as well as the deferred tax assets. So one can assume around 20% of average tax rate for FY23.
20. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you for all the questions. As a practice, these questions help us to relook at our book and sometimes, relook at our strategies also. Thank you for all the probing questions and analyzing the numbers. The data is not available, we will definitely try to share it. Most of the data you have asked for, we are able to provide. We are definitely looking at a much positive year ahead. The growth is back and the bank balance sheet is continuously improving. So I am very confident as we go on, your bank will deliver better and better numbers. And thank you for all the cooperation.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Union Bank of India, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.